All right, let's get going. Hour number three, and the price right now is $106,850.
That's a beautiful thing. That's good.
Yeah, Dick bought Bitcoin when it was, what was it, 90 cents you spent?
No. 16,000 was my first one. I bought some at 5,000, some at 20, some at 60, some at 30.
Let's see. Here's the next obvious question. It's too late now, right?
No. Oh, no. No, no. I'm hearing today, by the way, I was going to give a greeting when we got in, like, here's Dick in Hawaii, and I was going to say, Yabaseo, which is, that's the polite way to answer the phone in Korean. Yabaseo. Yabaseo.
Okay.
Anyway, to those of you in Korea, Yabaseo. What we're hearing is that when Trump takes office in day one, he's going to start putting the assets, what assets there may or may not be, of the United States, not in gold, not in U.S. dollars, not in treasuries, but in Bitcoin.
Yeah, another reserve currency tentacle.
Yeah.
And if that happens, this thing could go to $500,000.
Oh, in a heartbeat, Bitcoin will ultimately be unobtainium. It won't be for sale on exchanges. You won't be able to buy it publicly. It'll be a private sale among the super wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, for all of you who know, and Dick has been on the program for many years, and he is he's on the inside track of Bitcoin, and he hasn't been wrong. When it went down, how low did it go? 38, 39 at one point?
Oh, no. 2 years ago, this January, it was 17,000. And
that's
I was pretty unhappy camper at that point because I had missed out the big run in 2021. But our analyst, the guy that looks at the charts, told me in third week of January 2022 or 2023, he said, Dick, we hit the bottom this week. This is the bottom, 17,000. It will not go lower. That's it. We're on the way up. So,
right.
And then he said last summer when it was around 50, he said, Dick, we're going to hit 73,000 by the end of October. So it's the first week of October, it's 55. It's the second week of October, it's like 60. Then it's back down to 57. I go, Marty, we're not going to hit 73. He goes, no, we're going to hit 73 by the end of October. End of October, it hit 73, and he said, now we're going up 104. So he says this run, he called 108 by Christmas. He says we could hit 140 by, I think, in the next four. He says this could be 4 months of up. Now, for those
4 months, what? Dick, what?
A four-month run in cryptos. Cryptos are going to go up.
In other words, after January 20th, it's going to run for several months, especially if it's named as a new alternate reserve currency.
Well, and there are ones, like there's one called XRP that's about, I got it at 30 cents. It's $2.30 now.
Wow.
They're announcing that blockchain, the XRP blockchain, will have a stable coin debut tomorrow. And so that means...
What's a stable coin? Tell everyone.
Stable coin is pegged. It doesn't go up or down. It's always the value of one U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing cryptos and you want to take profit, like you want to, well, okay, XRP has gone to $8 and I think it's going to drop back down to 4.5. But I want to keep those profits, you put it in the stable coin. And you do that so that it you don't have to turn it into U.S. dollars. I mean, ultimately, you want to get away from U.S. dollars. You want to get out of the banking
system. Well, you're still going to get nailed with the taxes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a taxable event to do that.
Right. Well, SRP...
XRP. Another good one we like. Well, not investment advice, by the way.
No. You have a 1,000% increase. Not 100%, 10 times. 30 cents to $2.30?
Yeah.
Well, let's see, 30
some
cents.
Some of mine are a little bit
369,
more than
369, 369. No, it's 770. Anyway, but go ahead.
Oh, not investment advice, but another one we like is HBAR, H-B-A-R. That is the people that are doing Space Force, and it does a lot. Some of these cryptos, they really have functionality, like they're going to power the new system that we're getting to. So, yeah, it's somebody in the know told me 7 years ago, and I had to do my own homework. I was told, learn about this. If you invest, you'll do well. And I don't know if I could go through it again.
It was hard. I remember how hard it was on you. It was not hard on you. It was hard to do. Well, both ways. It was just hard to figure it all out.
The first Bitcoin I bought from somebody selling Bitcoin on the black market in Medellin, Colombia, because I couldn't get it in Hawaii. So I went on the internet and wired money to Medellin, Colombia. I was obviously a drug money laundering operation, but
I didn't hear that. No.
Yeah, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just bought the Bitcoin from a. I learned how to do it better, but that was early. My first $500 I spent all day, and I got $500 worth of Bitcoin, and it was immediately worth $350. So I go, I lost $150, but it's been quite a journey, but it's still early, Jeff. It's still early.
So if you want to buy a Bitcoin...
See, you don't have to buy a Bitcoin.
You can buy a quarter of a Bitcoin. You can buy whatever percent you want, right?
You can buy $20 worth of Bitcoin. You can buy $100 worth. It would be 0.00001 or something. It's a
and
fraction.
Is this all reported to the IRS now? Everybody who owns Bitcoin and all that, do you have to declare it?
Well, in order to buy it legally, what you have to do, and we've all done it, I've done it, is you have to go to an exchange, and there are a number of exchanges. There's Coinbase, there's Kraken, K-R-K-E-N, I'm on that. There's one called Uphold. There are Binance. There are a number of exchanges. So you have to make an account, and this is what I had to learn back all those years ago. You have to make an account, and in order to make an account, they have something known as KYC, Know Your Customer. They have to know that you're a real person. So you have to provide a picture of your driver's license or passport. You have to send a picture of you holding it up, and you have to send a picture of you holding up something with the date, say, I am buying cryptocurrencies from Kraken. Mm-hmm. And you have to send them verification of your address. Once you've done that, you're under international law. You've just signed your own authorization for your digital ID. So the ugly little secret is there are a lot of people saying, oh, cryptocurrencies are going to be our freedom from the bankers. We're going to go outside the banking system, and we're going to take down the evil bankers that have been running this system, and we're going to make our own money, and we're going to be totally off the grid with Bitcoin and Ethereum and whatever. But what they don't realize is every transaction is traceable, and you gave them your face to buy the crypto.
Got it.
So you're in the system, and it's...
Now, does everybody have to do that? I mean, I don't want you to give any advice here that's not legal, but are there people doing it other ways?
Well,
how's that?
One of the first Bitcoins that I bought, it was by necessity. The exchanges, Hawaii had such draconian regulations, they wouldn't allow the exchanges to do business in Hawaii. Now they will, but back then in 2017, 2018, when I verified my address, they immediately said, oh, you're in Hawaii, we can't do business with you, goodbye. Like, can't do it. And so I went on the internet. I said, buy Bitcoin in Hawaii. And there was a place called, it was a website called Local Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And they had people that made private sales. And they had ratings, like they'd done 15 transactions with 5 stars. So I contacted a person that had a screen name. And I said, I want to buy 1 Bitcoin. And Bitcoin at that point was $16,000. And they said, okay, we'll sell a Bitcoin for $18,000, non-negotiable. I said, okay, I want to get it, so I'll meet you. So all I had was a screen name. And we're going to meet in a public place. This is a funny story, Jeff. So the screen name was like I Bit You or something. So I'm going, all right, I Bit You. My name is D. Allgaier. And we're going to meet at the coffee shop outside the Safeway in Manoa at 2:30. Okay, I'll see you there at 2:30. I'll be the holly guy with a mustache. I was on TV. I'll have a laptop. And this person said, okay, I'll find you. So I'm thinking, golly, this is, I'm going to go there with a manila envelope with $1,800 bills.
Yeah.
And so I said, I want to know who this person is. So I'll remote view it. So I, 2 hours before the meeting, I got quiet and I did there's a technique we use called the temporal assumption that I said, okay, I Bit You. And I looked, and what swam into my consciousness was I saw an Asian woman about 60 years old, 55 to 60. And I drew this person. I made a sketch. So I put that in my pocket. I take my computer and my manila envelope with $1,600. And I'm sitting at the coffee shop having a Perrier and sipping my soda. And this Asian woman comes up, goes, you're Dick? Yeah. And I go, hi, and she introduced me. I looked at her, and I went, I was so pleased with myself. It was, I saw her face and I had seen it. And I thought, that's so cool. I said, I got to show you something. And I said, I drew you. And she looked at my sketch. I should send this to you. I have this. I should actually put it on the, I took her picture. And she looked at it and she kind of blanched and said, why would you do that? She was really like, why did you draw my face? How did you, why, what? And I said,
well, her out, sounds like.
It creeped her out. So we sat there and she surreptitiously counted 16 crisp $100 bills. And then she transmitted Bitcoin to my computer, and I said, okay, I want to do that again tomorrow. Now, those transactions, I made a notation of that, and I will report that to the IRS this year. So that money came from Mimi and I, life savings. We've saved that over the years and withdrew it from the bank, and so it's all accounted for. I don't know. Probably legal. Not the best way to conduct business. Now there's a broker in Australia that you can wire money to, but you don't want to go to your bank. For those of you getting into cryptos, if you're going to wire money to one of the exchanges or to a broker in Australia, the one I use is Caleb and Brown. Caleb and Brown. I've done a lot of business with them. If you go to your bank, you say, I want to wire $20,000. And you have the bank, Caleb and Brown's bank in Melbourne, Australia, whatever street. And the bank goes, well, Mr. Allgaier, why are you wiring $20,000 to Australia? Just for our information. And if you tell them, well, I'm buying cryptocurrency, they will immediately not only deny the wire, but they may close your bank account. So you'd never tell the bank that. You tell the bank, I'm buying property. I know what I'm doing. Just wire the money. It's getting harder and harder to wire money.
Wow.
But so, Jeff, I was using Grok, the AI.
Yeah. I'm a little bit afraid to go do what you want me to do because I'm afraid I might get sucked into it. It looks too incredible.
I'll
too
do one
incredible.
For you right now. Here we go.
All right.
I'm on Grok. Hang on. Okay, so you can put a prompt in. It's free. You go to Twitter, if you have an account on Twitter, and over on the left-hand side, it says Grok.
Go ahead and do it, and then just send me the results.
No, I'll read it to you. I'm going to do it right now in real time. About
how much will Bitcoin be worth in 2030, 5 years?
Okay. I'm going to tell it. Write, this is what I'm typing in. Write a poem about Jeff Rentz. Go. Okay, I just told it to do that, and it's starting to write it right now. And in real time, here's what it spits out. This is what AI thinks of you. It just did it that fast. In the realm where whispers dwell, there sits a man named Jeff Rentz, a voice that echoes through the night with tales that stretch intense. He speaks of things beyond the veil, of secrets hidden from plain sight, from mysteries of ancient lore to conspiracies that ignite. His radio waves, a canvas wide, paint pictures of the world unseen, where questions rise like morning mist, and truth is but a dream. With every show, a journey starts through realms of dark and light. Jeff Rentz, with his silver tongue, cuts through the fog of night. He challenges the status quo, invites us to think anew. In shadows cast by broad daylight, he finds the hidden view. But not all tales are dark and dire. Some speak of hope, of truth, a beacon for the curious minds in search of unfiltered youth. So here's to Jeff, the voice that dares to question, seek, and prod. In the tapestry of human thought, he's woven quite the odd. For his words, we find the key to doors we've yet to open. Jeff Rentz, in his nightly quest, keeps the world's secrets roping. That did that fast with just that.
Jeez. I mean, I'd like to say I couldn't have done it better myself, but that's overwhelming.
Isn't that amazing? That's a pretty good
That's quite humbling, actually. If I've survived all the smears.
I would have thought, you know. Well, if you looked on, here's the thing, Jeff. Elon Musk is running Grok, and he's trying to do it honestly. If you look up Jeff Rentz on Wikipedia, he's a Nazi, he's a conspiracy, he's a quack, you know. But they pretty much got your essence there.
No, that is good. So I just want all of you to know that.
Copy this and send it to you.
Thank you. Depending on the service, you're going to get different results.
This one's free. The paid ones, this is free that they're giving to everybody. So.
Right. This is Musk's. Well, so far his integrity is certainly withstanding all challenges. He's coming across as a real strong, honest, decent, wise man with a moral backbone.
But think of how fast these computers are.
Oh, that's crazy fast. It's silly. I'm going to go back. If I might, I'm going to go back one more time. Forbidden Planet, 1954. Go rent it and watch it. You want that's the ultimate AI movie, and I saw that long ago, and it's boggled my mind. And now here we are. Did you ever see it? Did you see it?
I think so. It's been a while.
Oh, you'd know. Walter Pidgeon was in it, and anyway, it was a civilization on a planet that built AI. They didn't call it AI, but that's what it was, and it evolved to the point where they didn't have to even be consciously awake to prompt it.
Oh yeah, it would do what they said.
They didn't think, and it's oh my god! And what happens when you go to sleep? It was taking prompts from people while they were asleep, and manifesting them. And some people have nightmares, and it manifested the nightmares of the people. And I'll stop right there. It's an amazing film.
It's predictive programming.
Oh yeah.
It's showing us where we're going. Yeah, but see, this technology is going to stop. I have a yoga instructor. My wife hires a really nice guy.
Oh, may I say one other thing? And sure. This, dear friends, is what they're admitting to right now
and
where AI is. Okay? Understand, it's well down the road from what you just heard, the capabilities. They're phenomenal.
Another fun thing to do on Grok, and I was doing this till late at night last night, I said, draw me a picture of Jerry Garcia holding a Bitcoin.
Ah, that was amazing. That was
and
amazing.
It spit that thing out in like 5 seconds, like one.
I can't. I just, that boggled my mind when you sent that. I have to open an account with X,
yeah.
Right? And then I get to use Grok. All right. I don't sleep anyway, so what the hell?
And then I told it, I said, draw an elderly woman asleep in a rocking chair next to a fire with a young girl trying to give her a present.
Yeah.
And it made like a...
Norman Rockwell.
You could say in the style of Norman Rockwell.
That, you could have. You didn't. But that's what they came up with, basically.
Did I send you that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
See, what's going to happen, though, I can't post these because everybody who starts using this is going to have 100 or hundreds of images that are Grok generated, and they're going to be too many. So I can't. I mean, it's the best of the best you could post,
okay.
But it's going to be crazy.
As you know, I have a business where we, futureforecastinggroup.com, where we do videos and we do teasers and we do presentations. So we have these editors mm-hmm. that take our material and edit little clips and put them on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those places. They're going to be obsolete because you can have AI do that in 10 seconds. So doing an open, and I was going to tell you that what you need to do is find some young person that is like in college looking for something. What we did at our place, is we're lucky, is I do YouTube videos and some this young guy named Brennan was in college, mm-hmm. and he contacted us and said, "Hey, I can edit videos for you better than you do." And we said, "Well, okay, show us. Take this video or take this mm-hmm. material and see what you can do." So like an hour later, he sends us this great video, like just little music, you know, accents and it mm-hmm. was beautiful. So we said, okay, we'll give you like this so much a month and do a few of these. So he essentially, you know, inserted himself, and we just hired him full time. He's graduated, and he's doing amazing.
What's his position? What is he going to do? Video editing? That's it?
He's going to be our media. He's going to be in charge of all of our media promotion. But you need to find somebody like that and just have them do it for you, increase your presence. And you need to adapt to this. I think your format could change a little. It's adapt or die is what we found.
I have never done what they call SEO. I have never promoted the website or the program outside of self-promotion. And it's done on its own. And I got an email today from a really nice fellow. He said he's been reading the website every day for over 20 years. And he's not the only one that's said that. So this is being discovered. Yes,
I can't
have.
Read the whole thing, but I read all the headlines.
No, no, I just read the headlines. That's plenty. You'll know. Anyway, you're right. This could, like the website alone, could take off like a rocket with promotion. And anyway, you're right. And we'll talk more about this.
Find our people. We should set our people loose on your thing, because I have greater hope for the younger generation now, Jeff. I thought a year ago they were totally lost, but I think some of them are waking up, and some of them are hungry for the type of information that you're giving.
I agree, and I hope they stay with it, and I hope they press ahead to try to back this evil away from all of us. They've got to. If they don't, then it's over.
Well, I think I'll talk to our mutual friend, but that would be a good Christmas present to give you, is have some of our young guys make some teasers for you and just put them out, and then link
absolutely
to Fritz.com. Yeah.
Listen
to the archives. You know what? Ideally, what you'd want to do is have somebody take a show like Skolnick or Jim Mars.
Oh, there should be classics. There should be classics.
All those, and then they take just a couple sound bites and make a teaser like, you wouldn't believe what this guy said on the Jeff Rentz program. This has been, you know, if you haven't heard the truth was there 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Link to the archives. Yeah. Get a membership now for however much. So that's how I'd promote you.
Well, that's very nice of you, and you're right. And I have always wished I'd had the time.
You don't have the time
to
do that, but we could get somebody that's using AI. I won't do it live on Grok.
No, no, I understand. Yeah, very good. All right, well, Grok.
Okay,
Grok.
So that's an amazing thing. So we want to talk about some remote viewing, huh?
Yeah, we have some pictures under Dick's name. Go to guess.
I didn't tell you what the target was.
No. No, you didn't.
Well, we'll play. Look at the data. We'll present the data, and then we'll tell you what the target is. It's pretty good.
Go to guests, and look under Dick Allgaier, hour three.
I'm going with you here.
Yeah, and click tonight's guests, and then look under Dick. It says Dick Allgaier, blind RV tasking.
Okay. Okay, so we got to go from the bottom up, because
scroll down to the bottom of the page that comes up. How do we end up upside down? All right, I'll have him reverse it.
Yeah, that's okay. That was probably my fault, Lewis. And okay. Oh wait, so they're out of order. They're out of order. So
Let's find the one you want. We can find them. There aren't that many.
Okay,
one,
the first
two,
the eyeball, and the
three,
other guy's doing this.
Four,
it's men
five,
yelling at each other.
Six, seven, eight, nine. All right, it's about number three down. Three pages.
Three down.
The eyeball. Then there's three men, and then men yelling at each other. Okay.
Okay.
Are these trannies,
so
or are they real men?
This is my work.
All right.
And I'm given the target ID, which was, all they told me was L4L9-S9A5.
Got it.
Tell us what you see. So I'm looking at L4L9-S9A5. I'm sitting at my desk with a blank stack of paper and a pen, and I'm listening to a theta track, tones that go woo-woo-woo in my head, and I look at that target ID, and I immediately go, man, there's men yelling at each other. There's a heated confrontation, like one of those scenes when a legislative body dissolves into near fisticuffs. Okay, so that's the first
thing. These are, we think, some kind of credible politicians, political people. Is that right?
At that point, because I said a legislative body.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'm looking, I go, there's a big curved table. There's people talking, and I got the idea of oil agreements, energy, arms.
Is that the next one we want? This is
a
big curved table?
All right. decisions, impasse, economic issues, clash with war stuff, economic issues clash with war stuff, divided over whether to go along with Trump. Ministers, translators, financial people talking different languages. I thought of BRICS. And this may or may not be on. So then I'm getting leaders at a table trying to hammer something out.
Got it. And they're deciding whether to go along with Trump after most of them have gone along with Biden. All right. I'm no big Trump
fan. The next one is, and this is important data, you'll understand why.
Okay.
I see two men.
What's the next one?
The next one is it's there's two men and then four men and then a guy on a horse.
Okay, I gotcha. All right. Okay, we'll call that blackboard.
I'm picking it. I don't know what this is. I go, it's L4L9-S9A5. And I go, there's two men in charge of something. These guys are running something. And those above give the illusion of being weak or losing control and confidence. And then I said, there's people below them, there are levels below that believe there is weakness and loss of control. They act, but they're acting. They're playing into the hands of those who manipulate them. And then for some reason, this is metaphoric, I get the image of a galloping horse, a charger with a warrior willingly going toward disaster. So I still don't know what this is. I'm just getting random images, but it's important to the two people. You understand why?
Okay, gotcha. All right.
So now
the next one is people
with a big screen and they're looking at charts and graphs,
right?
And it's being fed in, and they're shocked. They're gathered and they're shown something on a big screen, and they're trying to gain consensus. And what they're shown on the graphs is shocking to them. And then I go back, I keep seeing the men at the next pages. I keep seeing men around this big oval table. They have sour faces. There's translators. I said, the political becomes financial. Calls to adjourn, but they keep going. A decision based on necessity. A compromise. They overturn something, there's some resistance, but they know it is inevitable. And then the next, I see a $100 bill, I go, this involves the dollar as reserve currency. How to shift from it without a total collapse. A series of agreements, multilateral, very complex negotiations and agreements with interlocking parts. And then we go back to the top. That was my data. This is what Naeem saw. The eyeball, he says, a sense of a retinal scan, unique identifiers, control, cannot be faked, national database, national security, and then he has people getting a retina scan where you're authenticated, determine if you're allowed in an area, financial status, balance, special rules, cybersecurity. Okay, I'll tell you what the target was.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to rearrange these. Back up to the top image of the eye. Okay, that's so. I'm going to go back up there now. Oh, you got two. Oh, he doubled.
Yeah,
one the of dollar.
That may be my mistake.
No, this should have been caught and pointed out to me.
Now, right. let me, while you're doing this, I'll point out that we had four...
Dick, quick question. Is the top eye and then the three guys below doing the retinal scans...
Those should be the last two.
Oh, those are two, right? The eye is one? And okay, good. That's all I need. Go ahead.
We had five viewers do this, and the whole presentation of all the data is about 40 minutes. So there's a lot more data. This is just the highlights. And Edward Reardon had a long, involved session that you can see the whole thing on our private site, which is futureforecastinggroup.com. Future Forecasting Group, and you got to buy a membership. But this is startling stuff. The target was DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, the performance and outcome. And we were looking at the two men that I had, Elon yeah. Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. So what will they be doing? And now I'll give you the inside data that we are remote viewing points to, but I'm getting this from better sources. The U.S. government is clearly bankrupt. The system that was put in place with the Bretton Woods Agreement at the end of World War II with the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency, that system has reached its conclusion. They're now going to a digital system that will be eliminate the need for nation states. The U.S. government is $36 trillion in debt. We're adding $1 trillion every 100 days. That's completely non-sustainable. It's going to collapse. And so what Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have been brought in to do is to dismantle this system and to get rid of, cut like two-thirds of it minimum. Two-thirds of the people working for the federal government were required to take certain treatments that will render them unable to perform their duties.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
The future.
It's 80%+ total.
Yeah. So what we're going to is the system that is all going to be automated by the system that we were demonstrating at the beginning of this program, which is artificial intelligence with supercomputers and quantum computing, that will have all your information and will keep track of all your data and all your interactions. Every yeah. interaction you do will be tokenized and valued, transmitted, taxed, monitored on various blockchains, oh, overseen by things like Grok, that will know if I can write a poem about Jeff Rentz in 3 seconds, well, it'll know what he's going to need for, you know, what kind of car he's going to buy next year and how much he drives and how much gas will be needed and, you know, what he eats. Like, well, he's going to want some coconut ice cream at the health food store in 2 days, so ship that in. That's all coming.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of making life and being proactive about life and making decisions on the fly and everything, it's kind of reducing that, isn't it? If it's all known. And it's not known by a conscious human. It's known by a conscious AI. Think about it that way. And I think we both agree that artificial general intelligence is here and has been here. And ASI, artificial superintelligence, is just around the corner, if it's not here already.
Yeah.
This thing is running rampant and amok.
Yeah. I have a guy that teaches me a yoga class privately, because I'm really not very good at yoga, but this guy helps me out. Mimi took his class and said, hey, come teach my husband. So he comes up, and he was just in San Francisco visiting his brother, and his brother is running a startup that uses AI to make robots. And he was showing me the video of their latest robots.
Hold on. The human engineering to build an AI-controlled or AI-enabled robot is now being done by AI. So we don't need people. We're much better off with AI that has an IQ of probably 10 times more than the average engineer, except 5 times, doesn't matter. So that he is building robots with AI as the actual design engineer. Interesting.
So the robot is there in a kitchen, and you got dirty dishes and okay. an apple and a bag of potato chips. And you say to the robot, feed me something healthy. The robot goes, okay, here's an apple. Because it knows the apple is healthier than potato chips. And then it says, can you clean up the kitchen? Okay, I'll wash the dishes. And it washes the dishes. They will have a robot that will be able to scan what is in your cupboard and your refrigerator, and you can say, hey, robot, I want Mexican food for two. And it'll say, I'll make you a burrito with blah, 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 you know, the refried beans, and then it'll make it. And this company's goal is everybody will have their own robot. And what you're going to have, Jeff, is you're going to have your own AI assistant that will take care of all the stuff you need, you know, all your little mundane routines and stuff you have to keep track of. Your AI will do that. And then, excuse me, I just dropped something. Sorry. Now, we get to the point where your voice is very well. I could. You remember when I sampled Harry Cooper and I had Harry Cooper saying, sounded just like
yes.
him, he was saying something opposite.
Yes.
You
yeah.
can take Jeff Rentz, Harry Cooper, Dick Allgaier. You could make a convincing video of me saying any outlandish thing that I didn't say, and you wouldn't be able to. Now, how will you be able to authenticate that? Here's how.
Even with the voice print technology, voice analysis, it might be tricky. It might be tricky to do. It might come out the same as the original sample voice.
Yeah.
What
I'm
if that happens?
About,
I never said that.
I'm yeah, talking okay. about the public at large. What
oh,
you will
not
need
know.
To do and what you should yeah. do is you should copyright Jeff Rentz.
Mm-hmm.
And you should copyright your voice and image, which I've already done.
You did?
And then what you,
all right.
Then what you will do is you will have a blockchain, like say there's a token called Theta, which is going to be streaming video and audio. And you would, because a blockchain is immutable, you would have the, excuse me, I had to cough. Okay, I'm back. You would have the authenticated, copyrighted Jeff Rentz, like only what you see on this blockchain is really Jeff Rentz. That's the only thing. Anything else is fake. And you would be able to sue them if they put it out. If that's what it'll be. Is that's what why blockchain is useful, because it's a trustless, immutable ledger. So you could make a spot on the mm-hmm. blockchain where only you have access to it with your digital identity. It's going to be it's going to take a lot of adapting for people, but it's going to be a wild ride.
Well, remember, and unfortunately, a lot of people who are here now are not going to be here in another few years.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be some implement that has been worked into the death vax that they can actually trigger with some EMF. I don't start thinking 5G, but some... Everything's frequency. Remember, that's Tesla. Everything's frequency.
Yeah,
so if
yeah.
we have these things implanted in all those who took the shots, why wouldn't they have built it? You and I would, if we were building that death weapon. We would have put something in there that would be triggered by a particular frequency to manifest this or that other kind of very terminal physiological change in the body.
Well, they know that the current system, all these federal workers, I mean, I guess the Pollyanna view, the best case scenario view is what they're trying to sell us is all these government workers, you know, that they're none of them are working. They don't go to the office. They sit at home and they have a little device that moves their mouse automatically every few minutes to keep their screen activated.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have a little thing that moves them, and they don't even sit at the computer. But what they're trying to sell to us is, oh, all these people can go work as we save all this money in taxes uh-huh. and give uh-huh. tax breaks. Private industry will flourish. All these people will go get better jobs that don't cost our tax money. But I think a lot of them are going to – they won't be working anywhere. It's going to be crazy.
Dick, if we lose 75% of the world population, we mean 25% less. We know that AI is already walked miles away from them, ahead of them. What are these people going to be kept back to do beside service the technology and do other things that a human can still do better than AI? But once you get a real robot that has a tremendous dexterity with its hands and so forth, it's going to take over where people were. People are going to end up being just fat tubs of lard sitting back watching the screen. They won't have to work. There won't be any work for them, and three-fourths of them are going to be gone. That's the plan.
But some people who invested wisely in cryptos will have a life where they can explore their consciousness and explore interesting things.
It's true. It's
true. Do interesting things.
But I'm telling you, I don't think most people are going to be able to do much exploring without AI as an assist. Certainly, yeah. YouTube is an assist. Now think of AI. You're researching something, and you ask AI, well, what's really going on with this? What am I missing here? Can you present it to me properly? Whatever. And it's done in seconds.
Wait till they get experiential. Like, it's not, you're not watching a screen. You have an experience that's as real as anything to you.
Correct.
And you can, that right. will be.
I think this is really, we're looking at the end of a civilization here.
Well, we
I'm
are.
Not saying it's
well,
we all are. Going to be gone, but I mean, the way it's been is already over. It's done.
Yeah.
I mean, these robots that every version of one of Musk's robots that comes out, it's a little better. They're not walking smoothly yet, but they can do a lot of other things. And wherever they are now, imagine if we survive, where they'll be in another 3 to 5 years. It'll be several hundred percent better, orders of magnitude better, perhaps.
They've got some four-legged ones that can run about 40 miles an hour. They probably can run 100 miles an hour. I mean, they run really fast.
Yeah, that's my point. We're really being left behind, and it's just the way it is.
But we had a great life in the 50s, 60s,
we go, 70s, oh, we got 80s. Like, come on, go look at American Graffiti. You want to see fun? That's fun. Great cars, great music, great people. What is it now? I sent you that clip of Jackie Wilson.
Yeah.
A hologram. It would look like Jackie.
Yeah.
They had him sing a song, or they sang a song by just recreating and playing it, but there's no end of what people are going to want to see. Their favorite movie star, their favorite athlete, their favorite person, their grandfather, their grandmother, whatever. You can get a picture of a grandpa or great-grandpa right now, just a black-and-white mugshot, and AI will turn it into a multidimensional, colorized, speaking person.
But maybe, Jeff, maybe you and I are existing in an AI-generated virtual reality right now. Maybe
maybe possible.
We're a different being.
I don't rule anything out, Dick. I don't.
Okay, you're going to have this 80-year experience, and you're going to believe it completely. It's going to be as real as anything to you, and then you go have this, and then you leave your body, and you go, wow, that was really realistic. That was heavy duty. It's just a matter of more computing power. So, Jeff, when I used to, this time of year, my mother's birthday was December 17th. So on December 17th, we would go to the Christmas tree lot. In the Christmas tree lot, when you were like 8 years old in Midwest,
magic.
United States, you'd bundle up, and it would be cold. You'd smell the Christmas trees, and Dad would pick one out. Like, that's a good one. That's a really nice one. I like that one. And they'd pay for it, and we'd put it on top of the car and lash it on with ropes. and bring it into the house. And mm-hmm. the beginning of the Christmas season was my mom's birthday on the 17th. So on the 17th, nice. We'd have her birthday party. Happy yeah. birthday, Mom. And then they'd go to the attic and they'd get out the Christmas tree lights and the tinsel mm-hmm. and the ornaments. Mm-hmm. And we had family ornaments that you'd remember them like, oh, I remember that one. And Dad would put the star on top of the tree and he'd string the lights. And then it would be Christmas season. And then you'd start seeing, like, when you're 8 years old, that time from the 17th to the 25th took forever. And it would snow, and we'd go.
Oh, but it was wonderfully slow. Now it's too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You sent me a Bob Dylan thing by mistake. Write a lyric in the style of Bob Dylan about a bandit and a vagabond on a dusty... it's okay.
Oh. Where's the...
No, it was wonderful. That'll never... That probably will never exist again unless AI can create it all, but then... Are there going to be any people around to participate in it? And will they be able to feel and sense the emotion of Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, where I am now, I cringe every time I go buy Christmas trees for sale. They've all been killed. They've been sacrificed. They're dead. They're dying. We take their dying bodies home and decorate them in some very odd pagan ritual, and then we throw them into the trash, or we burn them, or we have the trash collector pick them up on a special run, put them out by the street. I think every Christmas tree should be a living tree in a 10 or 15-gallon pot, and if everybody were to plant a Christmas tree or a pine tree or whatever your favorite green tree was every year, we'd be planting a couple hundred million trees a year. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sending this to you.
Thank you.
I had to reprompt it, and it reprompted. I think it's the same poem. And we'll end with that again, because it was really good.
No.
In the late hours of the night, when the world turns black and white, there's a voice that whispers through the air, Jeff Rentz. Oh, this is a totally different one. It adapted. In the late hours of the night, when the world turns to black and white, there's a voice that whispers through the air, Jeff Rentz, with his enigmatic flair. From tales of the unknown to conspiracy's grip, his radio waves do more than just slip. They delve into mysteries, the hidden in the deep, where mainstream narratives dare not leap. A voice both calm and assured, he challenges what's commonly endured. Questions truth we've been sold, unravels stories yet untold.